Please silence your cell phones within the library.
Hello and welcome to Library Binary, a monthly tech podcast from inside the library.
I'm your host and technology trainer, Anne.
And I'm your co-host and fellow technology trainer, Elise.
Coming up next month in April, how are we already to April?
Oh my goodness.
Well, we do have a number of tech talks and other programs coming up. We're starting off April on Tuesday, April 2nd, with our tech talk, Digital Collections from the Library. We've talked about this in the past.
We did a whole episode on it.
Mm-hmm. So if you are looking for ebooks and audiobooks and movies and TV shows and magazines and comic books.
There we go.
And I'm running out of media
courses,
options.
Yeah. Concerts.
Yep. All of those things. You have access to that for free with your library card through our digital collection. So mm-hmm. That tech talk, we'll talk about that. That is at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, April 2nd. We also have an upcoming tech talk on another topic of our podcast, Siri, Alexa, and virtual assistants. So if you want to play around with all our little robot-y friends.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. That will be on Friday, April 5th at 11 a.m. We also have a WordPress series starting on Tuesday, April 9th at 7 p.m. So if you are interested in making a website without having to learn all that crazy coding language, mm-hmm. WordPress is a great option, and that'll be starting soon.
The next tech talk we have is another podcast episode, which is Social Media, Privacy, and You, which we've talked about sort of previously. That will be Saturday, April 13th at 11 a.m. Then we have Computer Basics starting Wednesday, April 17th at 2 p.m. This is a 6-part series?
Yes.
That takes you really from, I have no idea how to use a computer, to at least being able to do online shopping.
Yeah.
The people listening to this probably don't need it, but you might know someone that does need it.
Right.
Yeah. And then finally, we have a tech talk called Get Your Kids Coding on Monday, April 29th at 7 p.m. This is kind of a series of resources for parents and guardians or teachers or anybody in the community who's looking for what they can do to get their kids and teens into coding and interested in it. So there's a lot of resources covered in that class.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. And that is our updates for April.
Yep.
So this month, we have a technology term, which is cookie.
Which is not the cookie you think it is.
It's not Cookie Monster cookie.
No.
It's cookie as in a small amount of data generated by a website that is then sort of saved into part of your browser.
Right.
And cookies serve a whole host of purposes. Like the smallest version basically tracks how long you stay on a website.
Right.
So like any publication, right?
Yeah.
Uses a cookie to track how long it takes you to read the article or if you stay on the page long enough to read the article.
Right. That you're not just clicking on it and like, oh, I don't want to read this, and then immediately clicking away.
Yeah, because that helps them understand, you know, what their content is, you know, what content they should be making, what you're interested in, what their readers want. So that's like a really simple one.
Yeah.
The next one, like up in commonality, would be when you're on a website that sells something, it remembers every item you click on.
Right. So then, like your recent history down at the bottom of like Amazon or any of those websites.
Like Gap, I know Gap and Old Navy still do the like if you click on like an item and then you click on something else, if you scroll past like the item description, there's the what you've just clicked on
still
listed there.
Yeah.
So you don't have to hit back like 6 times. You can just click on that.
Right.
So cookies help do a lot of functionality on websites to make it easier for you to use.
The one description I saw when I was looking up definitions for cookies is without cookies, websites are basically like goldfish. They have like a 1-second recall, essentially. Yeah. So every time you reload the website or go to a different page, if it remembers what you've done in the past, there were cookies involved.
Yeah. And I think this is becoming a term we need to talk about because I forget why it's appearing, but it seems like every website now has the "our website uses cookies. By using our website, you agree to our cookies policy."
I think it's the European privacy laws.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Like, so Europe implemented sort of like the you have to disclose if you're using.
And I never remember the actual acronym. Hang on.
Do you want to look it up?
Yes.
Okay. Let's look it up.
I was right. It's GDPR. I don't know what it stands for, but that's the acronym.
That's the acronym? Okay, interesting. So it's just a lot of websites will use it. Another sort of side effect of cookies is that if you search for something on one website, ads
right.
relevant to that information will appear through social media. And, right. like, other things.
And there are indications that social media sites, especially Facebook, because Facebook, are able to track you using cookies, using that information saved, basically across websites. So mm-hmm. not just on Facebook, what you click on Facebook is also, or the ads that you see on Facebook are influenced by other websites that you visited as well. Which you can actually create pretty complete profiles for people out of, like, the cookie information that's saved.
Yeah.
So it's becoming a privacy concern. And as we'll talk about kind of at length today.
Yeah, it sort of folds into our main topic. We've right. done a pretty good job with yeah. this the last, like, couple of times.
I try to keep it relevant. I don't know how much longer we can keep this going.
How relevant the terms to the topic right. can be.
Right.
Okay, so do you have anything else to add to cookies?
Not really.
Okay. All right, so let's jump into our main topic for the month, which is Google and alternatives.
Yeah. So Google has become our overlord. Google
benevolent overlords.
Hopefully.
Let us pray.
Yes. But Google has become a verb. It's become, we just say, Google it. Don't, like, search it on Google.
There's, I think I sent this to you, which is really funny. The Japanese have a phrase, which is a phonetical pronunciation of a longer phrase.
Right.
Which basically, so it's basically the letters for Google it, you idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which I'm just like, yes.
There is a website out there that is Let Me Google That For You, where you, like, type in the search term and you can copy and paste the link and send it to somebody. And it literally, like, shows the Google homepage, types in the search, and, like, actually searches it for them. So it's basically like, oh, wait, you don't know that you can just research this yourself. Here, let me help you without, like, doing all the work for you.
I'm going to use that.
It's great. It's great. But Google has just become a constant. Like, almost 80% of us use it as our primary search engine. So it's just, we've accepted them into our lives.
It's a better search engine than Bing or right. like,
which is partially because of the cookies they're collecting.
Yeah, they have a more extensive cookie collection,
right,
so to speak.
And Google is not just the search engine then. So if you have a Gmail email address, your email service is through Google.
Yes, I have one of those.
So do I.
Yay.
And there are a lot of other benefits and other products that are associated with Google. So you get 15 gigabytes of storage that are shared across Gmail. So all your email messages, which actually take up a very, very small amount of space, across Google Drive mm-hmm. and across Google Photos, which we've talked about in the past because yes. we love it.
Yeah.
What are some of our other things?
There's other apps that are included with Google as well, which aren't right. just those. And this is one of those things that I think a lot of people don't know what it is. But if you're signed into Gmail or you're using Chrome,
right.
like in the upper right-hand corner, there's a square
yeah.
that is like 3x3 little
yeah, like
squares.
Yeah, like a little grid.
Like it's a little
icon.
Grid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like trying to be like, well, it's three down and it's three across.
Yeah.
And when you click on that, that takes you to what Google refers to as apps. Now, they're not technically like apps in the traditional definition of that word.
Although a lot of them are apps you could download onto a mobile device.
Yeah. So they can be separate apps on your mobile device. So it's sort of like, ah, okay. Right. So they include Google Calendar.
Really helpful.
Which is super great. Google Images, which is different than Google Photos.
Right. So this is more like the image search functionality.
It's reverse image searching is
yeah.
the reason I use it the most often.
Right.
Like somebody sends me a picture. I'm like, where is this from?
Is this actually a real thing or is this Photoshopped?
Yeah, is this Photoshopped? There's Google Maps.
Which is how we get around to anything at this point.
Because it's... Apple has maps.
Maps, quote unquote.
It, honestly, sometimes I'll accidentally default to Apple Maps because I have an iPhone. And
right.
It will get me to the vicinity of a place.
Right.
But like where the pin is, where it says, you've arrived. I'm like, no, I have not.
And we'll talk about a little bit later. Google Maps is actually like the backbone of things like Lyft and Uber mm-hmm. and all of that. So... without it, things get a lot more complicated.
Yeah. There's Google Play, which is different than the Google Play Store.
Right. Well, Google's really bad at naming things.
They're like, let's just make it simple and then use the same word four times. And you're like, Google.
Because you can, there's like Google Play Movies and Google Play Music and Google Play Books. And it's basically just a storefront for
yeah, but it's
digital
where
stuff.
It's where you can get content.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then Google Photos, which you've previously talked about.
All hail Google Photos.
Google Translate, which I anticipate being a great friend of mine in future endeavors, but has previously helped me when I was dealing with a customer who really only spoke Russian.
Yeah.
And I pulled the app out, like turned the microphone on and just held it up.
Right. Yeah.
And it was able to roughly translate what she wanted. I was able to understand it.
Right.
I spoke into it. It translated it back to Russian so I could hold it up and show it to her.
Right.
And
right.
I was like, ta-da.
Yay.
The only app that does not include the word Google in it, YouTube.
Yay. Little did you know, Google owns YouTube and has for a very long time.
Yeah.
Like 13 years or something.
I remember the merger, though.
Yeah, it's been a while, though.
Yeah. And then Google Drive, which is a application that includes technically separate applications inside it.
Right.
So Google Drive is not only storage, but also includes sort of like free versions of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, and kind of Paint.
Yeah. There is a Paint equivalent. I discovered there's like a collaborative whiteboard in Drive as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a great place. I know it's really common for students especially to use Google Drive and Google Docs and Google Sheets and all of those just because they're often on Chromebooks. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Another Google product.
Yeah. Well, I did go to like a symposium held by our like local PBS station. When was that? Like sometime in December, November, I went.
Sometime.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I went and it was for teachers. It was for educators. And nearly every teacher was talking about like they've got kids on little Chromebooks.
Right.
They use the Google Classroom.
Right.
So they all are completing their math assignments at different speed and the teachers can check on them and
right.
that
yeah.
kind of stuff. And I'm just sitting there like frantically scribbling like this is what's happening in schools now. I need to
right.
know this.
Yeah. Because Chromebooks have become really, really popular in education because they're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty easy to lock down as well.
Yeah.
And it's all internet based too. So you can't install like Minecraft on it
yeah.
and like break it somehow.
They can't put software on it that does anything. Yeah.
Right.
So that's really popular in schools. So that's another facet of the Google family.
Right.
So clearly from that list, Google does a ton of things. They also make the Pixel,
Right.
Phone.
Oh, hey, that's my phone.
That's your phone.
Yeah.
Google is the creator of what is called Android, which is the software that makes every smartphone. Other than Apple and Microsoft phones, which are still only available right now in China. So not our problem.
Yeah, I think they're done with the Microsoft.
They're done with the Microsoft phone?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Well, they recognized they weren't going to win that battle.
They were losing drastically. But yeah, so basically when it comes to phones, you either have a phone that is run on software produced by Apple, or you have a phone that runs on software produced by Google.
Right.
And those are your choices.
Yep.
There's not really anything else.
But because there's such a wide array of things that are under kind of the Google umbrella, mm-hmm. they have a ton of information about us.
Oh, so much information.
So if you use Google Maps, it knows where you've been. If you carry around your Android phone, it might be able to get your location off of that. So it's become a concern to some degree of just how much information Google actually has.
Well, like, I remember when they first introduced the sort of like, I think it was just called the Google app, right? Because there's the Chrome app, there's the Map app, and then there is one just called Google,
yeah,
which sort of takes you to
like the search
page,
right?
But then it has like articles based on basically your cookie history,
oh yeah,
and whatnot, yeah, on there. But I remember when that first came out, it was really crazy because you would get alerts from that app in the morning, like when it first came out, and it was basically like, you should leave for work now. There's traffic on your commute. And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. I've had that, especially if you have routines, you go to certain locations at certain times. Like when I was doing every other week at a different branch for outreach, it would let me know, you need to leave now to get to Noble on time. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah, on Sundays, it would be like, if you want to get to, and I was always so like, I was like, oh, you know who my in-laws are?
Yeah.
It was like, if you want to go to your in-laws, like, house, you should leave now. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And we've talked about this in the past in terms of Facebook, just in terms of these big companies are essentially advertising companies. That's why they give you all this stuff for free, is because they can sell your data to advertisers.
Well, it's interesting because the data they use, yes, they use it for advertisers, but it also helps create really interesting products.
True. And very true. Yeah.
Like, so there's, you know, if you really think about it, Uber and Lyft, which I know there's always some controversy over it because they're basically union breakers when it comes to taxi cabs.
Yeah.
But it is a very solid way for people that only want to do like a little bit of.
Right. It's like the whole gig economy of.
Yeah.
You can kind of do your side hustle. I hate that phrase.
I do too.
Yeah, but you can do things on the side easily at your own convenience. It's also convenient for users of, especially if you live in like a big city,
mm-hmm.
you mainly use public transportation, but something is just far enough away. It's convenient.
Or like,
it's kind of environmentally friendly, sort of.
I mean, it's
a little bit better.
It's a little bit better than anything else. Like I had a driver one time. I was just getting to the airport because I was like, parking is going to be way more than the Uber drive. I'm going at a convenient time for me for my arrival, but it's inconvenient to ask anybody to drive me to the airport.
Right.
And I don't really have the greatest situation for public transportation to get.
Sorry, Cleveland, you're not known for your public transit.
It tries. I mean, I could walk like several blocks and get on the thing, but it's not superb.
It's not New York or Chicago or DC.
Yeah, it's not our, people definitely do use it, but it like triples your commute, like the time it takes.
Right.
And so I did an Uber and, actually, no, wait, I did a Lyft.
They're roughly interchangeable in concept, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will sometimes compare prices. Lyft gives coupons. Uber does not.
Lyft, I think, is also a little bit better there. To their drivers?
That's what I've heard from the drivers, that they're a little bit nicer, so I try to use them. But the person driving me basically said that, you know, she was like a sort of stay-at-home mom, and so she does airport drives while her kid's at school.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Almost exclusively. She doesn't work late nights. She doesn't work...
Because you can pick your own schedule.
Weekends, yeah. She only works when it's convenient for her.
And there's probably a whole podcast episode we could do on gig economy and side hustle and all of that.
Yeah. And then there were two at, like, I was reading about, and these are very specific, but there's a bra company that's used basically data collection to be able to size you without seeing you.
Right.
Like you answer a questionnaire.
Especially because isn't Victoria's Secret like notorious for measuring wrong?
Yes. So there's like a couple of different bra companies that are like, we can get you the perfect size
based off these factors.
Like, answer these questions. Tell us, tell us the brand of the bra you're currently wearing. Tell us the problems with the fit.
Yeah.
Which of these following pictures best describes you, you know, kind of some of that. And then they're like, this is the size, and we'll send you a trial, and, like, you can try it on.
Yeah.
Yesterday or 2 days ago, I saw a makeup company's doing that now.
Right.
Like, they are like, answer this questionnaire, and then we will match you with the perfect shade, having never seen your skin. And I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah, that is a fascinating one.
I just think it's very interesting because these are all built on the data gathering that they have. I mean, it's very interesting.
And that's also relatively anonymous, like it's only really within that sort of context.
But they've built not only from the questionnaire, but like from other data gathering.
Right.
Like they have to have paid to get access to some database.
Something. Yeah.
Because people answering the questionnaire is just not going to be the big enough numbers to generate the correct response.
There has to be, it was probably some sort of focus group or those like survey apps that are out there that you can like answer surveys for like, and you get X number of whatever cents for gift cards or whatever. So data collection.
It's
good. It's weird.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere. That's really the answer.
Well, okay. I kind of want to transition into talking about the data collection story at this point. So there's this really cool series called Goodbye Big Five from Gizmodo, which is a
tech pop culture.
They cover a lot of topics, but it is
millennial leaning. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So because we care about technology, they talk about technology in a technology literate way.
Right.
More than other news outlets of similar topic coverage do.
Right. And it's a little bit more informal in terms of like language and like they write really good headlines.
They're funny.
They're funny on top of being very informative.
Yeah.
And Kashmir Hill is a reporter for them. I think she heads up their, like, special reports section. So she does some really cool reporting. And she went through and picked the big five tech companies. So that's Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, our topic, and Apple. And she eliminated them from her life, basically, one by one. And then she had 1 week where she eliminated all five.
It's a very interesting read. We could not cover all of it. But basically, in order to get rid of any of them, she had to have somebody with more advanced computer skills, like, sort of shut down nearly all of the internet from her computer.
Essentially building a firewall that blocked all the addresses that are owned by those companies, which Amazon... I mean, we're most familiar with Amazon as in, like, I get on Amazon and I order my toothbrush or whatever you buy on Amazon. My dog treats and dog food comes from there.
Smoker pellets.
Yeah, everything. Everything comes from Amazon. But they have a very vital infrastructure that basically houses millions of websites.
Like, yeah,
the vast majority of the internet is hosted on Amazon servers.
English-speaking part of the internet.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's caveat that.
Yeah. But if you shut down access to all of those websites, then basically the internet's broken.
You can't do anything.
So she spent a week with, like, the internet being broken.
Yeah. And then, you know, trying to turn off Google, she couldn't use Lyft or Uber. And then I think she has an Android phone from what I read.
I think she was on Apple, but she had Gmail email.
Yeah. So yeah. She couldn't use her email.
Both professional and personal. Couldn't access things through Google Drive. She couldn't even use Dropbox, which is an alternative for Google Drive, because it verifies that you're human using Google's privacy policy.
Oh, no.
And, like, smart home devices.
Oh, yeah.
Ping Google every hour to make sure they're online. They don't check anything else. They don't check your internet connection. They just see if Google exists, basically.
Well, nearly every smart device pings.
Yeah.
Like, more than every hour.
Right, right.
And I see we have written down here, in a week, the devices tried to contact Google 104,387 times.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
But also not when you really think about it.
I think Amazon's in that series, she does Amazon first, and Amazon tried to her devices tried to contact Amazon like 300,000 plus times in a week because of all the AWS stuff, yeah. All the like cloud storage or running website stuff.
So anyway, we wanted to talk about this article because we get a lot of people, both professionally and personally, in my experience, mm-hmm. who get kind of like freaked out about doing certain things online. They're like, well, they have your data. And it's sort of like, yeah, and?
Yeah.
You know, so I think this article is a really good way to show people that, yeah, you can keep your data completely private, but it's going to cost you a lot
right.
of time, effort, and convenience.
Right.
You know?
And that's something I've heard a lot in, because I'm interested in the whole internet security thing and privacy, but that's one thing that comes up on a regular basis is things that are private and secure, they are not convenient.
No.
And things that are convenient generally are not super private and secure. So you have to kind of find your balance there. And for the vast majority of us, the convenience of like Google knowing where you are, so when you search restaurants, you get right ones, is way more helpful than like slogging through a DuckDuckGo search result and trying to get the same information.
Or, you know, I just was thinking about our web guy because he does so much with different websites, is in the beta of like the new version for the Google Maps where it's AR. So Ooh. Your phone. So you actually, he showed it to me. And I was like, oh my God. Because so when you're doing walking directions.
I hate walking directions because I don't know like cardinal direction.
I know. Which way is north? I don't have a compass on me.
Exactly.
There's a compass on my phone, but closing it to open that is going to drive me insane. But so basically, when you're like, okay, I need to get directions, you then hold your phone up and it opens the camera and it scans the buildings around you and points you in the right direction. And as you walk towards things, it lists the street name Perfect. That you're approaching
yes.
and shows you like a little path it through. So you can yeah. just like hold it and like walk.
Right.
Like there's so many cool things you get from Google and the other big five because they're able to do
right.
the data collection. Right. Like,
and it's also, it can be cost prohibitive to actually put a lot of these security things into action. Like you would need, she talks about in these articles, there are devices out there that don't run on the Microsoft operating system, that don't run on the Apple operating system, that don't run on Android. They have to run on a form of Linux, and they're super expensive. Like, they're just as expensive as, like, a Mac laptop or more.
And then, you know, I have friends that, like, prefer to do Linux or other things or, you know, like, build their own computers. There's an education barrier as well as a price barrier.
Yeah. Like,
if you are not technically savvy enough to basically go into DOS and, like, check your hard drive's, like, health, you can't run these. Like, it's just, it's so crazy to ask people in their daily lives to not only meet these price points, but then meet these educational points.
Right. Now, one potential thing that could be a way to deal with this sort of data collection.
Rein it in.
Yes.
Bring it back.
Little bit.
Tiny step back.
Focus more on consumers and how that data is being used versus, you know, just the big tech companies getting to do whatever they want. But that's probably still going to happen. Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, has proposed an idea, a plan to help regulate these big tech companies as utilities, essentially. Yeah.
So it kind of, from what I understand, from what I've read about it, is it's treating tech companies the way those sort of like antitrust laws went into place. Like
actually implementing those with tech companies instead of just turning a blind eye to them.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's something that, like, at this point, because we don't have the language for it in any law, there's nothing against.
Right.
There's nothing stopping these tech companies from, like, gobbling up each other, which they've really done already.
It really has consolidated into these, like, big five. You aren't going to have, like, a smaller company really be able to challenge something like Microsoft or Google or Facebook at this point.
Or Amazon. Amazon. Because what is it? Amazon bought Zappos. Amazon bought Whole Foods.
Right.
Amazon bought, what else was it? What was the other one?
Do they own Goodreads? I think they own Goodreads.
Yeah. No.
Maybe? It is owned by Amazon.
Okay. So that, yeah. So that's like a completely separate sort of thing. Facebook owns
Instagram.
So if you stop using Facebook, but you still use Instagram, they still have all your information.
Yep.
And the other big purchase that Facebook has, which for American users might not mean a thing, anything, but for like the rest of the world is super important, is this app called WhatsApp, which is what every country outside of America basically uses to text.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
China uses a different one.
That makes sense.
Because Europe is basically WhatsApp and then WeChat.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so that's the Chinese version.
Yeah.
Because for some reason in America, texting on the plans is now like pay a flat rate, get unlimited texting.
Right, but versus the price per text.
Yeah, the price per text, but the rest of the world, it's still price per text. So everybody does
it. Long ago. We were young pups. We remember this.
But yeah, so basically every other, I have international friends and family, and when they come, they have to they're like, we have to go to a Starbucks so I can text someone.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm just like, oh no. But yeah, so that's like a whole thing. Google owns Waze, which is a great traffic app, sort of driving app.
It's kind of an extension of Google Maps, but with crowdsourcing. So like people will report. Actually, I had a scenario like a couple weeks ago, I think, where I ended up re-downloading Waze because there was like a big accident on the highway and like you don't necessarily know, like, what it is or if it's just a traffic jam, if it's an accident.
And it uses a little bit of, from what I understand, if you have the app open, it actually uses, like, your speed based on your GPS location. Yeah. So, like, anybody that has the app open, it's calculating that. So it starts to determine, like, where traffic occurs, which part of you are like, your phone's watching you. I'm like, yeah, but I also was told that there was gridlock a mile down and I got off and circumvented it.
Right. And it can, like, people can report in, like, okay, these two lanes are closed, so you should move over and all of that.
It's a really cool thing. But yeah, Google owns that. And then Nest, which is the smart home thermostat.
Yeah.
Which I sort of want.
I know.
So cool. And then DoubleClick.
I forgot. Which I think is advertising as well.
It might be.
But the concept or the plan that Senator Warren has proposed is to break up those mergers. Mm-hmm. So basically reverse the sales of all of these different companies to the big five mm-hmm. so that Instagram becomes its own company again. And then I feel a little bit less guilty using it.
If they broke those two up, I'd be like, okay, goodbye, Facebook. Bye.
Yeah.
Goodbye forever.
And also really streamlining or kind of breaking apart the sort of tech empires they've created in terms of Amazon sells a bunch of things in the Amazon marketplace, but they also produce their own products under Amazon Basics. Yeah. So spinning that off.
And she's got it here, or at least the article says that one of the proposed breakups is that Google search business being spun off as a separate company from the other Google items.
Right.
So like the actual search would operate completely separately from like Gmail and
right. So
like,
then you could have a little bit more competition then.
Yeah.
Because capitalism.
That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. So you could have a new search engine who uses some sort of revolutionary technique to actually compete against Google instead of trying to compete against this giant company with so many different facets.
I'm for this idea because I think it's necessary if we want to like have any sort of form of competition in the tech market as it stands.
Right, because it's basically the modern like oil barons kind of type thing.
I was trying to think. I think the phone companies had this happen.
Yeah,
but then they did it again.
Yeah, they and like cable companies are still kind of doing it, and yeah.
Anyhow,
we can hope.
Okay, so that is sort of that piece of information. Now let's talk about. All right, so you've heard the sort of scary things, and also all the things that Google can do for you. Let's talk about some alternatives. Right?
Yeah. So these all came from a website that is literally nomoregoogle.com.
I love that.
So they are actually, these alternatives are suggested by people and they like vote. People can visit the site and vote on them. So it
crowdsourced opinions rather than just like one writer giving you their choice.
So you kind of have popular opinion behind it. In terms of browsers, alternatives to the Google Chrome browser, we didn't even mention Google Chrome as a product. Too many.
They own too much.
Couple of options are Firefox, which comes from Mozilla, which is a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. They're real cool.
Yeah, they're real cool. They do a lot of educational stuff about the internet and safety and privacy and all of that.
And coding.
Yeah, they just do so much. I love Mozilla. There's also the Brave browser, which I had to look up, but it automatically blocks ads and trackers by default. So
I'm
it will
deeply
block
intrigued.
These cookies and stuff.
Ooh.
You do have the option to opt in to see ads if you do want to support content creators.
Yeah.
So if you're going to certain blogs, certain news websites, and you're okay seeing a couple of ads so they get that support, you can opt in.
I kind of want to download it and try it.
Yeah. It's there's also an app for your phone as well. And one of their big marketing things is you spend this amount of money every month by downloading the like cookies and stuff when you're on data. So you can save like X amount of dollars.
Ooh.
Because you're using less data because you're downloading less stuff.
I'm getting it.
Yeah. It was recommended. Somebody on one of the tech blogs was recommending it as their favorite Chrome alternative too.
Oh, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
For search engines, alternative that isn't one of the big five, because of course you can use Bing, which is Microsoft.
Don't use Bing.
Don't use Bing. Please don't use Bing. So an alternative search engine is DuckDuckGo. This one doesn't keep search histories is basically kind of what it does. So you can do that. A lot of people like it because they feel just a little more private when they use DuckDuckGo for.
That does mean you don't get the personalized search results, though.
Yeah. So it doesn't.
So it's a trade-off.
It doesn't learn that what you like.
Yeah.
Another thing that Google does, which you probably experience but don't think about, is that the Google Chrome browser and the Google, if you have the Gmail signed in, it saves your passwords so that you don't. So that it'll just automatically sign you into things and you don't forget them. And I'm guilty of doing this.
Which is great until you come to the library and you can't remember your password.
Yeah.
But if you are looking for an alternative to that, they're password managers. Yay, password managers.
We're big fans of them.
Yes, especially me.
Yeah.
And huge advocate for password managers.
Anne has one. I'm dragging my feet.
I use 1Password, which is one of the
paid ones.
Yes. It's $36 a year.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's really not bad. LastPass is available for free.
And then there's a premium.
Yeah, version. There is a premium. You really don't need it, though.
Yeah.
It's mainly for, businesses. And there is a open source alternative that's called KeepPass. But it's stored locally. It's stored on your device, which is fine if you have your own device. But if you need to be able to access it on a smartphone app when you come to the library, that doesn't have that option. But it is more secure then.
So Google Analytics, which is a app available through Google if you have your own website, right? So if you use WordPress or if you make your website through any of the other website creation tools that are out there, Google Analytics right now is considered the best way to find out who your customers are. And this kind of circles back to the data gathering.
Right.
Understanding how well your website is doing basically requires the cookies and the data gathering that Google has, because then they can be your customers are all in this part of North America. They're this age range. They're this gender. This is the kind of content you should be making.
Right. These are the times that they're visiting.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just having a moment where I'm realizing all the important things for understanding your business in a digital sense require data gathering.
Yeah.
Because in a brick and mortar store, you can physically see who comes in.
Right.
So you can get a good gauge. But when you're running a website, and if that's how your business is running because you're doing it from home,
which is becoming more and more popular, see side hustle, gig economy.
Yeah.
at least two episodes. We figured out so far.
We never have ideas until we start talking.
Yeah. And then we never remember them.
But, it would be so hard to run an internet, a website-based company without the data gathering that they do.
Right.
And so I'm just I want them to slow down, but also that's going to hurt the small people.
Right.
That rely on those.
Who could become competitors if we break up the big tech companies.
So we got to break them up, but they still need – anywho. So there's a alternative to Google Analytics called Matomo?
It's a European company. I have determined that.
Okay.
It starts at €9 per month, which at the current conversion rate is about $10.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
But it has a lot of, extra stuff maybe thrown in. This would be something if you are interested in getting away from Google Analytics for whatever reason. I feel like you're perfectly capable of Googling that for yourself.
There's a whole website called Let Me Google That For You.
Exactly.
All right. So an alternative to Gmail that is not Yahoo.
Don't use Yahoo.
But yeah, don't make a Yahoo account. Your option that is an alternative is ProtonMail.
which is all encrypted. So it's like popular among security researchers and stuff like that. One thing to note is it is limited to 500 megabytes. Remember back to the beginning-ish when we talked about the amount of storage you get with a Google account?
Oh, yeah.
It's 15 gigabytes. Gigabytes.
Ooh, that's a big difference.
That's like 30 times more.
It's a massive difference.
So this actually comes up in the Goodbye Big Five article, yeah. Specifically about Google as she creates this Proton Mail email address. Mm-hmm. And gets so many emails that she goes over her limit. Like,
does she have to then just like delete a bunch of stuff?
Yeah. It's like old school email, like old college email, where you would have to go in and actually delete all of your emails.
You have 100 emails. You have to delete
right.
all of them.
Right. Exactly. So that is kind of circles back to our it's expensive to be security conscious.
Because that's a time expense.
It's a time, it's an actual money expense. You can pay for more storage,
mm-hmm.
but you get so much more from Google for free.
Yeah. So then the next sort of alternative is for Google Docs, which is the sort of Microsoft Word alternative. So we're showing you an alternative to an alternative.
Ooh.
Fancy.
And you don't have to pay Microsoft $70 a year.
Oh, goodness. So the first one is called Notion.
Yep. It is Notion.so. It's not .com. It's specifically designed for like businesses who want to run on that kind of cloud-based platform. It is free. There are paid options, and you can have like unlimited storage for like $4 a month.
Oh, that's
not bad.
Really great.
Yeah.
For that
price.
That's
like less than Spotify.
Way less than Spotify.
Yeah.
Especially if you want two people to listen.
Yep.
Which I do. And then Zoho?
Yes. Zoho is a little confusing because they have a lot of like business software stuff you can get through them too. But there is a Zoho Docs.
Okay.
That is free up to 5 gigabytes worth of storage and files and stuff. Which for text files, that's a lot.
Okay. I mean, for text files, that's a lot. But if you put a picture into your text file...
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you need to do any kind of text file.
Again, Google offers 3 times the storage for free.
Okay.
There are paid options for that, too.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
For a alternative to YouTube, there is Vimeo?
Yep.
I'm never entirely certain how that I is supposed to be pronounced.
I'm pretty sure it's Vimeo. Which is, it's less social networky than YouTube, though.
It does. Well, the problem with Vimeo that I've seen in my interactions is, like, you can't quite, like, go onto Vimeo and sort of, like, search topics.
Right.
And, like, find information.
It's more of a hosting, video hosting service than, like, the time suck that YouTube can
hey, be. Hey, I learn a lot of really interesting things on there.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's something like 50%. I need to find this study again because I keep citing this statistic and not actually having the numbers. But a very large percentage of people have learned something on YouTube using tutorials there.
Today I learned that I've been putting bobby pins in my hair wrong. But it was really cool to learn and something I need for like an upcoming event. So,
and that might not be as discoverable on something like Vimeo.
No. And then for Google Drive, there is the alternative of Dropbox, but it's
Dropbox verifies based off you being a real person, according to Google's definition.
So, not so much.
I mean, Google's not really... I don't think it's hosted on Google servers. So, like, they're not retaining your data or anything like that. It's just that Google, all these big five companies, form the backbone of the internet. And you don't have to go as extreme as the lady in this yeah. article, the reporter in this article has done. But it's something to consider. It's an eye-opening thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's... As it stands right now, there is nearly an alternative for everything. Nearly.
Right. Right.
Not always.
Right. Also, Dropbox only gives you 2 gigabytes for free.
Oh, goodness.
Then you have to pay $10 a month, but it's for a terabyte.
That's a lot of space.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could fill that up.
I don't think most people could. Most people's computer hard drives aren't a terabyte.
Yeah.
It's becoming more common. But
I have a terabyte external hard drive that I've been using for several years that is, I think, 1/3 full.
Yeah, I have a 2 terabyte that's partitioned, so I have my backups and, like, other stuff nowhere near close to full.
Right. So, okay, I hope that was informative and understandable, because I know there's a lot of intricacies to this.
Right.
And, like, you kind of need to understand not only all the things that Google can do for you, but how Google can do all these things for you. I just called it Google.
I did that earlier, I think. So,
ta-da. So there's just a lot of complexity, and Anne and I, as people who spend all of our time helping others get a handle on this, have a lot to say on this topic.
And I think this is kind of what we've mentioned in the past with things like Facebook. Just being aware is probably the most important thing. You don't have to close your Gmail address. You don't have to, like, completely cut Google or any of these other companies out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being aware of the information that's out there.
Yeah. And, I mean, the good thing right now is that Google is very dedicated to its own personal security.
Right.
So the information that it's gathered is protected out the wazoo.
Right. And they've been doing a lot of research and advocacy for other websites. They do a lot of security studies of other websites and services. Google Chrome has started flagging those HTTP websites as not secure.
Yeah,
so that's been a big push to secure websites, largely because of Google's influence. So they are, I mean, they cut the don't be evil out of their, like, official, like, corporate statement. It's, like, demoted down. It's not, like, the official statement anymore. Yeah.
That's not, I loved that was in their official mission statement, don't be evil. Because I was always like, Google is our benevolent overlords.
Yeah. So, compared to Facebook, where we've had all sorts of breaches and scandals and whatnot, they're doing pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, like, Facebook is a company you wouldn't expect to, like, one of the breaches when you were finding out that, like, if you have the Facebook app on your phone, it tracks the phone calls you make, which is...
Yeah, that was fun.
Which has, like, nothing to do with, like, the app.
Or the rumors that they were going to get in touch with banks and, like...
Oh, yeah, that you were going to be able to send money through Facebook.
You can send money through Messenger, I think.
Wait, what?
I think it's, like, a PayPal thing or Venmo.
But
I think this was a separate, like, you would be able to, like, message your bank, like, statement for, like, statements and stuff. I don't think they're actually doing it.
They should not.
Yeah. I think there was a decent amount of uproar over that.
Anyway, Facebook, it was alarming for people to learn that they had that information about us. But when you think about it, Google makes the software that runs your phone. So, of course, they have that data. And then the fact that they had, like, don't be evil in their, like, mission statement, I'm like, okay, I kind of trust them. You know, and then they do things like CS First, which is a campaign to start coding clubs around the country.
They have a whole series of stuff for kids' internet safety called Be Internet Awesome. Like, they do a lot of good educational outreach.
Yeah, they put it back. They definitely have, like, made efforts to sort of create their future employees in a very, like, good way.
Yeah.
Be like, we need people to, like, be able to have these skills, so we're going to teach it to people. Which I'm like, okay, I like you.
We're not hating on Google. We're just making you aware.
Yeah, you just got to know about it. Okay. Do you have any final thoughts on Google?
And I don't think so.
Its alternatives?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All right. So I have the pun this month, and I hid it so you wouldn't read it.
Oh.
I like it. All right. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. It says, What is it called when an IT person gets surgery on their fingers?
What is it called?
Tech knuckle support.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that gave like silent laugh feels.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks for listening.
And remember, if you don't know your password,
we won't either.
You can save it in 1Password or LastPass.
Yes, you can. Goodbye.